Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is the most important night in history of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Tonight, two men, or rather, one man and one boy, will debate the quality of the movie that is Guardians of the Galaxy. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready?
Yes!
Guardians fans, are you ready?
Yes!
Yay.
Then for the four in attendance and the two of you listening at home, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to debate! Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright. I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing.
Hello, Les. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to a special edition podcast for the Guardians of the Galaxy. Holy shit, I actually said that, and it sounds so surreal to say that. But before we get into the formalities, into the movie itself, not the formalities, these are the formalities. I am your host, as forever and always will be, your host, the marvelous Iggy, a.k.a. Ben, joining me from the state of Oklahoma, Mr. Jonathan Cartwright. Let's hope your internet stays together now.
I am
joining us, representing the state of Massachusetts, Mr. Brian Powers.
This movie was awesome.
And joining us from representing the city of New York, Mr. Taser. Taser, welcome. Welcome once again, my friend.
You said Satanist.
You guys are Satanists, aren't y'all? Aren't all you?
Okay, yes.
I'm from the South, so we're...
are evil. I'll admit to that. I'm just saying.
I'm conditioned to hate
exactly
Yankees. I'm conditioned to hate Yankees.
Uh-huh. 28th champion, world championship. Yes, 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 yes. Southerners.
I think he just meant Northerners in general.
So that would include you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
Anybody's above the Mason.
Although he could hate the baseball team, I'm not entirely sure.
As I talk like Yondu, somehow, despite being from outer space.
Don't you mean Merle?
Dude.
Wait, that was... Okay, we'll get into that later. Let's open up with the good. Okay. I'm sorry. I had to. It was right there. Okay, so let's open up with the good, and I'm going to go first, because I'm the boss. I'm the big boss. Solid Snake reference. Anyways... one of the first things I will say, and you're gonna hear me say this a lot, and I don't know if Brian or John, because I haven't heard any of their opinions. This is fresh and live, people.
We've all been purposely withholding our opinions for this podcast
because you told us to.
To give people a reason to listen to.
For the shock.
Screw them.
I want views, damn it. Anyways, or whatever you call it, tweets.
Listens.
Exactly.
Listens.
Thank you for listening, if you're listening to this, by the way. But one of the things I really liked, one of the things I can point out, like, I really wished, from a visual standpoint, that the Star Wars prequels had looked like this. Maybe not in terms of exact look, but in terms of how these sets looked. And I'm going to use this word, I was originally going to say realistic, but that could mean something else. But I mean... if you look at the prequel movies, that shit looks fake as fuck. Like, there's no cutting twice. Everything looks too pristine and clean in CGI. It doesn't give you that illusion that you're in a world. Now, if you look at the original Star Wars trilogy, because of limitations, they built everything, or virtually everything that they could, and it felt like a breathing, livable world. One of the things I did like about this movie is that everything felt tangible, and that it felt dirty and lived in and breathed in. And I commend them for that, because they could have easily have just done CGI out the ass. But I'm glad they went with the the idea, if you the Christopher Nolan sort of concept, but just a little bit more high scale. If you can build it, why not build it? You know, that's just my opinion. I love Drax as a character. I thought he was awesome. I thought, because I don't have, apparently that super literal thing is an actual thing in the comics. I have no idea. I've never read Guardians.
That what thing?
Where he takes everything super literally.
Ah.
I don't know. I don't know. Right. Apparently that is a thing like in the recent Guardians run. Not the Bendis one, but the one previous to that. Apparently that was a thing. Either way, but I literally got a kick out of that. And I thought Bautista, the animal, did a much better job than I thought he was going to, because I thought going in, he's going to be the weak link. But no, I thought he had great comedic timing, and I thought he worked well with the other cast members given what he's done. And you actually felt I actually felt the pain for him when he was exploding about his dead wife and dead child and all this other stuff. So, and before I move past on to you guys, I will say that Lee Pace was amazing as Ronan the Accuser. And that it was kind of cool. Like, a lot of the Marvel villains that we've seen up until the Big T and, you know, even Loki to a degree, we haven't really seen characterization of the Big T, but, like, Loki, like, a lot of the Iron Man villains, or even, like, Red Skull to some degree. But, like, we haven't seen, like, a villain on his scale-wise just be evil for evil's sake. And not have a charm. Like, Loki has a charm about him that you just want to follow him and you kind of don't want to hate him because he just seems like a dude who could be cool if he wasn't this way. Whereas Ronan was just straight up evil. And I like that. I like that he was basically a mustache-twirling villain. And it was nice. And I liked how they incorporated his costume with the hammer and the headpiece. Like, I could tell it was Ronan just by looking at him. And I don't have the most comfortable the most knowledge of Ronan the Accuser, but and I know he's not a religious fanatic, but I thought that was a nice twist to add it to him, So I'll stop there, and I might think of some more. But for now, I'm going to pass it on to my good buddy John.
Mm-hmm.
What were some aspects of the movie that you did like?
I liked a lot of the you know, like you said, the effects and stuff were really good. I thought that what's his name, Chris Pratt. Or the one who played
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt as a Star-Lord.
Star-Lord
was doing okay when he wasn't necessarily channeling Robert Downey Jr., so to speak. He did a pretty good job. I liked. I wasn't surprised by Bautista doing a halfway decent job with Drax, even though that's not really Drax to me. I'm more old school Drax than the more current version.
You're Drax on Cape, right? That costume looks so stupid. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was, but still, that's where I came from with the Infinity Watch and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. I like pretty much everybody. I loved Rocket, and Groot was just hilarious. Showing that Vin Diesel can actually act good when he's given a little amount to use instead of trying to give him too much. And, I will say this, my kids watched the movie with me, and they absolutely loved Groot and Rocket, and they just were laughing their butts off on all the right stuff. I love seeing Benicio del Toro back as the Collector, even though he didn't really have much to do, but it was kind of cool to see him again, and having him being inside the skull of a giant, you know, the giant skull of a dead celestial, and they were mining
ice
stuff. I was like, oh, that takes some friggin' balls to do that. And had to explain that to my wife later, because I was like, yeah, the celestials are not exactly somebody you just mess with in any way, shape, or form, whether they're dead or alive. And just knowing that that was an empty skull of a celestial, I was like, oh, that was just nasty. I loved seeing the Collector's, area again. I didn't catch all of the, you know, little bits and surprises, but I loved seeing the Dark Elf from, one of the Dark Elves from Thor Dark World in the background.
Yeah.
I missed that then, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I was laughing my ass off when I saw it. I just was,
It was a Dark Elf and a Chitauri was loaded up in there, too.
Yeah, I saw that.
Uh-huh.
Now I have to go see the movie again.
But I also think I saw a Cosmic Cube or something variation of it in the trader.
Yeah, yeah.
It was in the trader room. Guy, yeah. I thought that was the Cosmic Cube, and I thought that was a nice little touch. Everybody did a really good job. Really, like I said, you know, when we get into the negative, I'll explain my negatives. Really didn't have many. I mean, I had to have issues with the movie, but overall, it was very enjoyable. Marvel's, it's their, like, the, you know, they're keeping that track record going on doing good stuff. And, yeah, that's about pretty much all I'm going to say about it for right now.
Okay. Before I pass it on to the two fighters in contention, I will say this about Rocket and Groot is that, and this is a bold claim coming from me, but that those two digital performances were the best digital performances like in a live-action movie that I've seen in a while. Not of all time, because I'm not going to make that hyperbole, but in a while that they were able to convey, at least for me personally, emotion through their eyes and through their actions. I'm not sure if this is true, but if anybody can find out, let me know. That I'm fully convinced that Vin Diesel didn't just do voice acting, but that they might have mo-capped his face or something to capture some of like that facial expression. It just seems like it did to me. And I thought Bradley Cooper did an excellent job as Rocket.
Oh yeah, he
did. Especially in that speech, that drunken speech he gave, where I just wanted to hug the little guy.
Yeah,
you know, it was just like, oh damn, man.
I also liked it when he was like, yeah, I need to get the leg. You need to get me the leg. Like, okay, here's the leg. Which, oh, I didn't need it actually. I just wanted to see, what was this look on his face? He's like,
you know, what was great about that is that's my favorite shot in the movie is where Rocket is explaining the plan, and it doesn't cut away, but Rocket says, I need that one thing. And then all of a sudden, you see Groot in the background, again, just in far focus, and they're discussing over the plant, and Groot just takes it in the background, and like the whole audience was just snickering as he was doing it.
Yeah, I was cracking up.
Like that was a well done gag. Because you're younger, Brian, I'm gonna let you go first.
Whew. All right. Let me just preface this with a little quick anecdote. this movie released on Thursday night, I believe, was the earliest showing.
Yeah.
I didn't get to my comic store until Thursday. And while browsing the racks of T-shirts, I found one sole T-shirt left, and it was of Groot and Rocket, and it was in my size, and I bought it, and I took that as a sign of providence that this movie's going to be awesome. And I was not let down. Not one damn bit. What do I love about it? Well, let's dive in, shall we? First of all, as Ben said, the visual effects I thought were great. In particular, the thing that really caught my attention in really kind of a flashy way was the Nova blockade on the Battle of Xandar. That was really cool. I dug that, the way the ships linked up. Writing, of course, I thought was great, especially the comedic timing of it was spot on. The scene, as you guys mentioned, where Rocket's just describing the escape plan, and you just see Groot in the background messing, and Drax is just kind of looking like, what's going on? I thought that was perfectly done. Tip of the hat to James Gunn. I thought he did a great job directing the movie. Obviously, he has a good eye for when to poke fun at certain tropes in cinema and when to pull back from them. Albeit some scenes did toe the line a bit too far. I'm not completely oblivious. In particular, I don't want to jump too far ahead in the story, but the dance-off, which you guys know what I'm talking about, I thought that was a little bit out there. And the post-credit scene, which I'll touch on that later. But yeah. It was the best soundtrack in a Marvel movie I've probably heard of outside music ever, really. Every single song made you like tap your toes and kind of like bob along in your seat. I know I did, at least. I had a great time with that. It was different, very much so, but it was wholly entertaining. And I almost kind of feel bad for the guy who's scoring this film, because there's no way he's going to be able to compete with the soundtrack of artists and stuff they got for this flick. Rocket and Groot were both amazing. The friendship was one of the absolute high points. We had the whole buddy cop dynamic type thing. And for James Gunn to make me cry for a CG raccoon in a talking tree, so to speak, it was just it was amazing. I felt more emotion for two pieces of computer-generated imagery than I did for anything in a long while, because they're not only Rocket's pain, but Groot's just total innocence in the whole thing. And at the end, where we are Groot, just, oh, God. Oh, it made me, like, really sad, but also happy.
Those kawaii eyes.
We are Groot, man.
That word. Shame
we on. Are Groot. Okay. This is probably going to be the section that pisses Taser off the most. I don't know. We'll see. I thought Chris Pratt was the absolute highlight of the film, personally. He's the lovable scoundrel who falls into heroism almost completely by accident. Although he did double-cross Yondu, so maybe that makes him more like Lando in terms. But I got to say, he's probably my generation's Han Solo, if I may be so bold.
No.
Funny, charming, ass-kicker. He's able to empathize with them because of the audience, because not only is he the fish out of water, he's the only guy really from Earth we've seen, unless you're counting Rocket Raccoon.
Hard to be a fish out of water when you've been there for 24 years.
I know, but yet somehow he still manages... On. Yeah.
I mean, that's like if it was Iron, if it was Tony Stark there, I'd agree with you, but hardly.
Okay, maybe it's less of a fish out of water, more of a he's in over his head type deal, because he is very much so in
that
over
I'll
his head.
Yes.
I wouldn't even say that, because we're talking about a guy who's been doing that. He's been in that situation. Well, not that exact situation, but he's been doing what he's doing for quite some time.
But
that may be true, Taser. But keep in mind, we're picking up right after he's just double-crossed pretty much the only father he's ever had.
Well, I mean, stop and think, though. Within the context of the movie, he went after the orb and he went to turn it in. It's not. I didn't get the idea that he did that to take the funds and run off with it. It was just, you know, Yondu was after him to get it done. You know, and then, well, because the guy wouldn't take it, and then, you know, there was that whole mess with the fight, and then he got caught and everything else like that. Get it done, get it done, get it done. At the end of the movie, yes, you know, he does kind of, you know, flip the script and, ha-ha, I tricked him, and, you know, while we, you know, do the right thing. But I think even right then, as you saw, Yondu was kind of, oh, okay, you know. I mean, he's still, it's not like he was, grr, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So...
But- Okay, look, that said, I didn't see it that way. I obviously saw him as a guy who's constantly fighting to try and get back what was, you know, what he slipped up and missed out on or what have you, something like that. He was very much, just to me anyway, felt like he was in over his head. And he played that off well, I thought. He recovers nicely, I should say. Yondu was sort of an unexpected joy for me in the film.
Really?
Well, let me just say that, you know, If it wasn't just Merle Dixon in blue body paint in this movie. I mean, really. But that said, I personally didn't find that to be a bad thing. I found it to be enjoyable. He's sort of the, you know, the opportunist, the spurned, you know, quasi-father figure to Star-Lord or whatever. And also, actually, I wanted to ask you older folks here, is the whistle-controlled arrow an established thing, or was that strictly new to the film?
No, that's something he had old school, but he used it within the context of a bow and arrow. Him doing the whole pull the thing off to the side and then just whistling the thing up and it, you know, took flight on its own. That's how they riffed it off here.
I think it looked good.
I absolutely loved the whistle control arrow, especially when he broke it out on Xandar when he was crashed down.
The samurai shadow, they call it.
Oh, it was just great. Just to take everyone out with a whistle was just brilliant, I thought. I'll keep this one brief. John C. Reilly was absolutely lovable as Corman Day. Okay, I don't care what any of you motherfuckers say. I loved him. He was wonderful. Him and his family. Can't feel for them, you have no feels. Fuck you.
Hashtag them feels.
Mm-hmm. And also, to cap off, I applaud James Gunn's conscientious attitude towards not harming raccoons or tree creatures during the making of the film.
Yeah, that was a fun line.
I didn't see that.
That
was a good line.
No real raccoons or tree creatures were harmed in the making of this film. I applaud you, James Gunn, for your forward. And that caps off what I just liked in general. I'll get into the other stuff a bit more later, but that's it for me.
Okay. Okay, T-Man, we know how much you've hated this move, the lead-up to this move for a long time, but at least there had to have been something you liked, right?
I liked Rocket, okay? I liked Rocket. I liked the set design. You know, the I liked how Inside Nowhere and actually Inside Nowhere, and I liked how Xandar looked, even though I gotta say it, when we saw Xandar, you know, from the sky looking down, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking Coruscant. I'm sorry. It just felt like that to me.
It's funny. I actually thought of Starfleet from the first rebooted Star Trek.
That's what I thought. that's what I thought.
Well, that's fair enough too. But you know,
but no lens flare.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yes, granted. as I did like the spaceship, the spacey stuff. I actually more or less the big battle. It wasn't awful. Okay, I'm saying it wasn't awful. Let's see, what else did I like? I like the final scene. I can say that. And I also agree that Lee Pace did a pretty good Ronan, all things considered. I also think that Karen Gillan did a very good Nebula. I you know, considering where they placed her character, what role they was having her take in regards to the whole scheme of Thanos' daughters.
Is she a daughter of Thanos in the comics?
She tried to play that when she was first introduced until get to Infinity Gauntlet. It's like, I would never sire a child.
That is Nebula. You're right.
And then she got the shit blown out of her by
herself. And there was a part when she was cyberdized, but then she ended up with the whole Kang multiverse thing. That was kind of funny too. But Cyborg Nebula, I actually enjoyed looking at her, especially that bit when she got nailed by Drax for about to go into some villain spiel, and he just kind of went, "Shut up!" I clapped at that point, and then seeing her get up and, like, you know, putting everything back in so she can move again, that was well done. I give James Gunn a thumbs up, because if I give him credit for anything, I think that he did dialogue really well. Okay, I liked how the characters, for the most part, how their conversations worked. You know, also a lot of it kind of centered around Rocket, so it's kind of, you know, one of the same thing. But I liked how his conversation flowed between characters in this. I'm done.
Okay. So, let's move on to the negative, which I'm pretty sure Taser will have a lot to say. I'll say this right off the bat. Michael, and this is, I have no context for Yondu. I know he's a founding member of the original Guardians of the Galaxy. And I thought it was like, I just found him the most odd, and not alien odd, just like the most like, why are you here? Like he just felt like he just stuck out way too bad for me, for me to care anything about what he does. And it was just like that Southern accent just was like way too, like, you're in space. I couldn't believe he was an alien because of that accent. I just couldn't. He did not sell me the character of this bounty hunter.
He was country.
Yeah, and there's nothing.
He was Merle
with
Dixon with body paint.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, and that's
even
that's,
his beard was painted the same color as his skin. That just kind of went, really.
And that to me is like, that's not a great acting job, and I can't commend that. You know, Whistling was cool, but that's not him. That's probably somebody else who came up with that. You know, and I'm like, why? Like, I felt like somebody else could have done a better job in that role who would actually attempted to change something versus just be you, a hick in space. So I'll get that right out of the way. I will say this. I didn't hate Gamora, but I thought out of the weakest storyline, was given in the Guardians with Groot, Rocket, Star-Lord, and Drax, she was the weakest. Oh, I just want to betray Thanos. I kind of expected her to betray the team halfway through. I was like, do I believe you? I've seen this trick before. But I didn't hate Gamora. I did find it, but I didn't hate Gamora, but I thought she was the weakest out of all of them in terms of acting and in terms of her character to the overall plot. And I didn't think I would say that. I thought I would say that about Batista, but who knows? Let's see. What did I hate about this movie? why was Glenn Close here?
Like,
she's a terrific actress. She's wonderful in everything I've seen. Isn't she in the new Emma, the Men, not Emma, Men in Black? James Bond. James Bond, wasn't she in the, wasn't she like?
No, you're thinking of Judi Dench.
I'm sorry, no. All white ladies.
Glenn Close isn't even British.
She can act. Fuck off. Either way, she stuck out as like one. She's not even in that many scenes. I was expecting her to have a much bigger presence in the movie, considering who she is. And two, it just felt weird. Like again with Michael Rooker, like she did a better job of selling her character as Nova Prime, which isn't that a computer?
Yeah.
Okay. I told my dad.
No. There actually is a Nova Prime.
Okay, because I told
as a character is a Nova Prime.
I told my dad that she played that she was a computer. That
wasn't Richard Rider Nova Prime at a certain point?
Yeah.
Because he absorbed all the Nova. Either way.
Well, he had no choice in the matter.
Yeah, I remember that story. I read it. But like it just felt odd her being there. And same with John C. Reilly. Like I'm sorry, I know you love him. He was John C. Reilly, but it just felt. And this is going with the whole movie that it straddled a line between goofy and serious, and I think it balanced that movie well. But I think John C. Reilly kind of just went, nope, just a little too far just because of how he was acting. Like, I just couldn't believe him because of how he looks.
You want to know what my favorite part with him was?
Hold on, let me finish. but I couldn't believe him as this Nova Corps, this particular universe's Nova Corps, like just as an officer. I just couldn't buy it. if he was like a like just a Nova like a grunt, sure. Like when he's handcuffing Pratt away, and talking to him like a normal cop would talk to a punk, I could believe that. But as a one of the higher ones, I can't buy that. I'm trying to think of what else. I don't like that they killed Annihilus.
What?
Huh?
That guy. What? That was Annihilus, by the way. The guy that Ronin killed, for FYI.
You mean the dude at Thanos' yes. chain?
Yeah.
No, that was the other from Avengers, Alexis Denisov's character.
No, that's an. Are you sure?
I'm positive. I was credited in the movie.
I could have. Well, they might have changed their mind. I could have sworn.
That was Annihilus. There would be a much bigger complaint here besides the fact of.
Okay. I heard a while that was Annihilus. I could have been wrong. Either way, okay. Never mind. So complaint scratched. We'll talk about Thanos more when we get to minutia people. But other than that, I have nothing terrible. Oh, Amistad was wasted. There you go. I can't pronounce his name. I'm sorry.
Like Jimon Hunsu.
I'm going to just say Amistad. Just because.
Dijon Mustard. There you go. Dijon Mustard.
Yeah, you beat me
I just
too.
Call him Papa Midnight.
Papa Midnight. I'm sorry. Was he an android? Is that what that thing was? Was he a robot,
he was supposed to be cyborg.
Okay, I thought he was like
Nebula.
I thought he was going to be like an LMD. I'm like, ooh, this is where they get LMD technology. But no. Okay, I just wanted to clarify. But I really thought they could have – again, another great actor I felt that was wasted. Granted, there's a lot of actors in this movie, and the main core is a team, so some people are going to be sacrificed. But, Amistad was wasted. There you go. That's
I'd agree with that actually.
So
yeah, I would agree with that.
Let's see. I think that's about it. Other than that, I didn't like their uniforms. That too. At least when they were fighting in the battle, I like that they changed to their classic, their comic ones, the blue ones at the end.
They did?
Yeah, subtly.
No, she had on something that was dark at the end of the movie.
Well,
but
some of the other guys.
She was wearing black.
Some of the other guys. Not Gamora. I think Gamora was the only one who didn't. But either way, I didn't like their red jumpsuits that they had to deal with because they were
I'll agree with that.
But that was because they were on Yondu's ship, and those were what Yondu had. So I fully expect costume changes for the next movie. Let me see. Michael Rooker sucked. Glenn Close is weird. John C. Reilly doesn't belong in this movie. Killing Ronan was a huge mistake. I had thoroughly enjoyed him, and one of the bigger complaints I'll have about Marvel movies is one, they kill their villains, and that leads to the second problem. There's not enough of them. Like, sure, we got the big T coming around, but I thought Ronan portrayed himself as a credible threat, and as a awesome threat, and just as a classic bad guy, you know, who doesn't try to manipulate, but just straight up, I'm going to kill you because I can. Or not because I can, but because he believes some kind of religious thing. But whatever, the point stands. And I thought killing him was just a little like, really? Did you have to kill him? There could have been like an added library, like since this is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they could have used him for other things. But no, you had to kill him. Like, I know that's a nitpick. It's just something that doesn't sit well with me. I wanted to see more of him because I was captivated by Lee Pace's performance. But other than that, that's all I got. Oh, and the fucking dance-off thing was weird. I legitimately thought that's how it was going to end. I fully expected Lee Pace to start breaking it down. But
when, like, dance-wise or, yeah, like, no, breaking straight down in laughter?
Yeah.
Well, both.
I would have howled in the movie if that had happened.
I fully straight up Lee Pace. Like, I'm pretty sure there's like a. I'm pretty sure when the Blu-ray comes out, there's gonna be a deleted scene of Lee Pace breaking it down.
He's just like Kevin Bacon, though.
But also,
what he's rejecting religious authority.
Well,
actually, yes.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. But I just thought that was. I think that at that point. It went okay. It went a little overboard on the goofy. Like, I was fine with the banana one, but I thought, okay, that's how you're gonna have him. And when it was revealed, it was a distraction for what was it, Drax?
Raccoon.
Oh, Raccoon to fire the shot. I just thought it was just like, really? Like, I ultimately came fine with it, but it was just like, but did they have to kill off Ronan? Like, I liked him. You know, and isn't Christopher Eccleston's character, isn't Malekith dead too? Or is he alive?
Yeah.
So it's like he's dead. That's two villains who are straight up.
I thought he was just banished to another realm, or maybe that was a
okay, well,
guy.
Somebody rewatch Thor Dark World and let us know. But that's two villains who are just evil for the sake of being evil, just gone. And now you're stuck with the big T, Ultron, who's my favorite, but we don't know anything about him yet. And also... Loki, who's manipulative as hell. I don't mind that, but, like, I get it. You know, I wanted Ronan to stick around. So there you go. That's John, you go next.
Yeah, my two major problems, and I'm glad that Taser liked Nebula. My major problem was they just didn't seem to do her well to me and give Kieran Gillian more to do with the role. I mean, she did a good job.
That, actually. Yeah, no, I agree with that.
And the other major problem I had, and I know Taser will agree with me, is the friggin' that is not the Nova Corps. My wife was kind of wondering why I kept shaking my head. I mean, wasn't trying to, you know, get too fanboyish, picky or anything. Explained to her at the end of it is that the Nova Corps are like the Green Lantern Corps, you know, in terms of, you know, they wear the same outfits and they have powers. They are not this. What they showed in the movie.
They're an empire in this movie.
Yeah, I just was just like...
That
I could buy, but when you say Nova Corps, you got to see the guys with the helmet, you got to see the Rich Rider look, you know, helmets, they blasting stuff out of their hands, flying, you know, that kind of thing. What they showed in here, I had to chalk it up, okay, things are going to be different, it's the movie, but still, it just really kind of pissed me off. Those were like my major two gripes. I can't really get too nitpicky. Now, I will agree, Yondu was a little... It was like I kept expecting to see Daryl Dixon to pop up.
I'm surprised he wasn't in the background, actually.
Yeah. It just, you know, I was expecting Norman Reedus to show up just, you know, for the shits and giggles, you know. But, and that's kind of sad because I do like Michael Rooker and I did like one or two scenes that he was in, you know, that little pin arrow, when he took out that entire army by himself on the ground. That was kind of, I chuckled and I laughed at that. But otherwise, I was just like, really? Are you just channeling Walking Dead and just putting it in Guardians of the Galaxy? And it just, I mean, it didn't take me out of the movie, but I was just like, oh, come on. I know Rooker can do better than that, you know, because he's a good actor. But other than that, really, I just didn't really have too many issues with it. But those were the main issues. That's about all I had. Again, just shows you how good of a movie they did. Where if I can't totally nitpick it to death, they've done a good job. Mm. So
you can say you were hooked on a feeling.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to smack you for that. But those are good guys. I was hooked, yes. Ooka chaka, ooka chaka.
Okay. By the way they used that song I thought was really odd, but it worked.
Yep. Brian, on the opening credits, yeah.
Well, no, I mean like when they're getting basically processed in the jail.
Oh yeah.
I was like, wow, that's an interesting place to put it. But it was like that one of those like it doesn't mix, but whatever. Brian, you love this movie. What did you not? You had to not hate something. Come on, man. Nothing's perfect.
Obviously, as I mentioned earlier in my prose. As you all mentioned here, there were those moments where the comedy was taken up to the line and kind of tiptoed across where it was like from believable into ridiculous. As mentioned, the dance battle in particular was one thing that they actually had me scratching my head. I was like, it was a good flow. Everything was, you know, the battle was, you know, climactic. And then Rona comes out and makes his big speech. And then he's just cut off. And I'm like, what happened? Is Rock pointing a gun at him? And I was right, just not yet, because then Chris Pratt's dancing in front of him tries to bring Gamora into it. I'm just like, what the hell is this idiot doing? That was the point where I'm gonna okay. So not everything went over so well, but obviously that that didn't rank too high, and neither did the unexpected cameo in the post credit scene. That thing kind of made me like drop my jaw and was like, what the heck?
What is he
doing here?
Stop it!
Yeah,
why? So. That. Some of the weaker character bits. I didn't hate Gamora's character, but I think she seemed just a bit too moralistic, a bit too preachy for someone who was supposedly taken as a child by Thanos and warped into this top tier assassin. And she betrayed Ronan awfully quick, you know, without any sort of provocation. And for that matter, both Gamora and Nebula betrayed Thanos very quickly, and I found that to be kind of a flaw, because not only does it make me wonder just how powerful Thanos really is if he can't keep at least one of his daughters on his side, but it's just, there has to be some sort of catalyst as to why people do things. They don't just do things to do things, I mean, unless they're sociopaths, but...
Nebula probably is.
Well, Nebula looked like she was enthralled with what she saw from, what's his name...
That's true. I will give you that. She displayed some genuine intrigue. Like, oh, all of a sudden this guy's powerful?
That's what that was.
But still, the turnaround for these two was so quick. It's like I got whiplash trying to keep up with it. It really just kind of caught me off guard. And so that really was kind of one of the big things for me. Okay, look, if I had to say there was a weak link in the team, I'd probably say it was Drax, personally. He was played up as foolish. He took everything way too literally. Apparently now that's a thing. I didn't know that at the time, but even still, that gives me pause. And trying to challenge Ronan and his followers directly, like head on. Granted, he was drunk, but still, he was...
He's the animal.
He was fucking clown shoes. He was a one-note joke. And moreover... He got his ass kicked a lot for a guy with the moniker of the Destroyer, okay? I think the only fight he actually won was with robots in the prison.
To be fair, I think that was great. To counter that, I will say that's a great way to show how powerful Ronan is. When you see how that scene where Drax gets that respect in the prison, and you get that sense that this guy's badass.
That's not true, actually.
Well, to me.
Here's the thing. If you want me to be in awe of how strong Ronan is, show me how strong Drax is first. I didn't see that personally. I didn't see him with that animalistic, you know, ferocity and strength that this guy Drax is supposed to have. I didn't see that there.
I'll give you that.
It makes me wonder if he gave himself the nickname in prison or something and just spread it around like a rumor. It's like, did you hear about this guy named Drax the Destroyer? He's pretty tough, huh? And, you know... Granted, I didn't expect much going in from a wrestler turned actor. I mean, my hopes died back in Blade Trinity when Triple H played that one-note vampire, whatever the fuck his name is. But, yeah, I guess. I guess my biggest problem with Drax is that he is supposed to be, to the best of my knowledge, the big gun of the Guardians of the Galaxy, the guy you just unleash on people.
Actually, no.
Then what the fuck is he?
He's another good right hand. Seriously.
Seriously?
That's what he turned him into, yeah.
They turned him into something unremarkable here is my biggest problem. I wanted... I don't know. I guess I just expected something more from him, and I didn't get it. And granted, you know, him constantly threatening people and their responses to his stupidity is funny, but he himself is not all that enthralling. Now, another thing, I did not dislike Ronan the Accuser as to how he was portrayed. I disliked the fact that A, he was made the villain of the story, and B, that he was made out to be a religious zealot more than anything else, you know?
See, I don't remember that. What did he say that put him out there as a religious zealot? I don't...
His little intro in the beginning, and then also when he was making his cut-off monologue in the end of the Battle of Xandar, when he's like, my father and my father's father, and I will... The laws of Hala and the ancient Kree ways, etc., etc.
I just took that as the typical bad guy posturing Kree bullshit. I didn't pay that much attention, so that's on me. Not even that, really.
It's also combined with the whole aesthetic of the way he isolates himself, and then he's being painted body in the garb he wears and stuff, and all that stuff sort of creates the impression, at least to me, of a religious zealot, of a fanatic. And that really, with me, is a big sticking point, because maybe I'm spoiled in the Ronin that I've read recently in the last 5 years or so. I don't know how he's portrayed back in the old days. I'm told it's really hokey, like he was really like Judge, you know, just whatever.
Yeah, kill people, yeah, all right. That's basically it.
And I guess I'm more spoiled because in the modern day, he's more a man of sort of the people, where he's sort of, you know, he's respected by the Kree, but also feared. And he's honorable, but he's also quick to act and stuff. You know, it's slightly more complex than just, oh, you just want to piss me off, crack with a hammer, you know. It's not so much that, at least not to me. I haven't read that Ronin yet. But that aside, Lee Pace did an excellent job portraying the character as he was written here. I just wish that, you know, it wasn't Ronin that was the villain of the story. I wish they maybe would have saved him as, like, something like an uneasy ally or something. Because I love the character. I wish he had seen some... I didn't want him to die. I'm with Iggy on this one. I wish they'd kept him alive, you know, sort of like as something else other than the villain, but that's not what we get. You know, I would have loved for him to have a recurring presence, sort of representing the Kree people, you know?
He could have been like the Loki for like the Marvel space side, you know?
Not really that, you know. Didn't want him to be the villain anyway. I wanted him to sort of be like, you know, the emissary of the Kree. He represents his people.
Villain.
And, you know, now my hopes for that are up in smoke, as is Ronan, unfortunately. But, yeah, that really, to me, was one of the biggest sticking points, because I love the character of Ronan, and I didn't want to see him die. And my last thing, really not really a thing I disliked, just kind of something that had me scratch my head a little bit, was the Collector's presence in this movie. And sort of his motivations, because let me spell this out. In the post credit scene of Thor: The Dark World, where we first meet Benicio del Toro as the Collector, we're sort of led to believe he has these malevolent intentions based on just his quick impression of his character, and it's sort of implied, if you know, alluded or something. I would have put money on him working for Thanos, honestly, the way he was portrayed in just that brief scene.
I don't get that.
Well, just the way he was intent on collecting the stones, you know, because he obviously knows what they are, because that was mainly his role in this film. He was the spouting exposition guy. That was his whole function in this movie.
Which we'll talk about in a second, yeah.
Yeah, and I would have expected him to sort of be the guy collecting these for Thanos and bring them to Thanos, sort of. I didn't expect him to want them just to put them up in a museum, which is apparently something that he just wanted to do. Apparently, his integrity as a curator is so strong that he just can't seem to attain ultimate power. He just doesn't want it. So, you know, what do I know? But, yeah, in this one, he's shown to be much more like a third-party guy with no real interest of his own aside from putting it on display. And, you know, I feel like they almost sort of just dropped the ball on what he was supposed to be and instead just went with this whole other direction, which... Yeah, go ahead.
No, finish your point, and I want to do it
okay. Real quick. And not only that, but, you know, it's just, This is more of a fanboy nitpick. What happens to the second Infinity Stone, the one that he was tasked to guard by Sif and Volstagg, you know, with his home blown up as it was. Yeah, exactly. So that aside, you know, if that had gone off, I would have loved to see that just consume everything, but that's neither here nor there.
Wait, you mean the one, the Tesseract? No.
The Aether. Aether? Yeah. Aether? It's whatever it is?
Yeah. It's. I mean, you can't destroy it, so...
Yeah, so when did it go?
You can sure as hell activate it. And with the other Infinity Gem in the presence of that, I'm surprised it didn't go off, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a second.
But yeah, that's more of a nitpick.
I didn't realize that in the movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because that was the whole point. He was the sort of the guardian of the second one, tasked by, you know, Sif and Volstagg. And then in the third one, he contracts out Gamora to bring it to him.
Yeah.
And so... I'm really expecting this guy to sort of be the guy for Thanos, you know, the guy who brings all this stuff together.
My point is that I think I really can't take that criticism seriously because I think that's what you're putting your expectations on that.
No, and I totally accept that, okay. And I acknowledge that. I'm not saying he was definitely supposed to be that guy. Just to me, based on what little I've seen from him, because we didn't see much more of him in this one than we did in the Thor: The Dark World post-credits scene. To be perfectly honest, it's just It very much did, yes. I really expected something different from this guy. Something more, you know, like he was the puppet of Thanos collecting all these things for him. That's what I expected out of the guy. And I didn't get that. And while I completely enjoyed Benicio Del Toro as the collector, his mention to Groot was just super. He's like, you must allow me to put your body on display after you're dead, of course. You know, that whole thing was wonderful. I think I read somewhere he characterized this guy as Liberace in space, which I totally buy. But that being said, I just expected something more from the character, you know, more building. I didn't get that. I got he was almost seemed superfluous to what his point was of being in the movie.
Did y'all get who that dog was supposed to be?
Yeah. Yes, it's Cosmo.
Okay, I was like,
Really? You couldn't tell by looking at him?
The second I saw him, I squealed, it's Cosmo!
Not for a second. I saw him again. I was like, that's... Because I didn't see...
I was waiting for him to go...
I didn't see the CCP.
Hello, friends, or something like that. Like, yeah.
I just thought it was a dog.
No, that was Cosmo.
When he walked over and he licked what's-his-name's face, I thought it was him talking and then come to find out, that was...
Me too!
Yeah, we'll say who it is in a second, who showed up. Okay, so Taser, let it flow, man. Let it flow.
Okay. I'll be perfectly honest. This movie started off bad for me with the opening scene because the scene in the hospital, that scene mirrors my life as a kid, okay, because – how he saw his mom, the last time he saw his mom, that's pretty much my last time seeing my mom. And that's bad, okay? And it's not something I like to think about at all. So seeing that play out, it never works for me. And automatically, it bothered me, okay? And it's not a fault of James Gunn because he wouldn't know, but yeah, automatically, fuck you. Then, you know, there's, okay, yeah, so he gets taken. I didn't, fuck the music in this movie. Fuck anybody who thought that the music was witty and it was fun. Fuck all of you, okay?
Thanks.
I don't need an 80s comeback fucking VH1 revisionist bullshit thing for a soundtrack. No, I didn't need to feel good. I wanted music that actually fit the movie. It didn't. This was too busy trying to make you feel good by feeling snappy and happy and yay. No, fuck you. All right. I get that was like one of the last things that he had, you know, because he got snatched up. But they didn't have to play that music that damn often. No, sorry, no. And he knew way too many. He was doing the Dougie. I'm sorry. He got taken in 1988. They didn't do the Dougie then. Okay. This guy had to have gone back. Well, we know he had to have gone back to Earth at some point because, remember, he had that tape deck in the fucking ship. Okay? So, yeah, there's that. Drax was a moron, okay? But to his – I won't say credit, but to James Gunn's credit, he managed to tap into something that actually exists within the character – and that's an overwhelming need to take out the obstacle, the foe that he has before him, ultimately that is Thanos. And Drax, in almost every version of him, that's pretty much been his MO. You know, it's been a driving force for him. You know, whenever Thanos is brought up and, you know, Thanos is the thing that comes closer, he's nearby or whatever, yeah, he's kind of, he becomes one-sided and single-minded, and he just goes at it, regardless of whether it, you know, is actually a good time to do it or whether it'll work or not. He just, you know, freight train runs at it and, damn whatever happens. So that actually sticks to the character, but it kind of saddened me that he turned him into an alien who lost both his wife and his daughter, because that means we probably won't get Moondragon, you know? And I
forgive my ignorance. Who is Moondragon to Drax?
His daughter.
Really?
Yes. Huh. Drax actually became who he was because, I forgot who it was, but when Moondragon's daughter, I forgot whatever his first name was, Mr. Douglas, because that was her last name. Yes, she is. He actually took his soul and built a new body of it made out of earth and put it in and gave him a bunch of powers and actually set him up as a force to take out Thanos. And that didn't work out too well the first time, and it kind of failed the second time when he rejuvenated. But he turned into the tank. The original versions of Drax could actually handle Ronan, okay? The Drax with the knives, even in the comics, no, that guy, yeah, he can't handle Ronan. So, yeah, that wasn't happening. Gamora, I did not hate. I still think that, visually she was a poor pick, but character-wise, I kind of liked how she played her, you know? It disappointed me when they had that scene when they were in the jail and, you know, it's like nighttime and she's, being dragged out of it. And I'm like, hold on. In this movie, she's still the badass assassin, kick-butt chick, yet she's being dragged by two guys, what was it, like 5 or 6 people, 2 of them with knives. No, they needed that scene to play out how they needed it to play out, which kind of disappointed me as a viewer, but I just let it go because it needed to get done. Like I said, I liked Rocket. What I didn't like was that whole drunken unburdening of himself of being torn apart and put together, the feels for Rocket. No. Why do we have to have that? Why do we have to show that Rocket, for all of his bluster and everything else and all of his tough talk, is really, just a pseudo-damaged, person or creature, however you want to term it, who, needs a friend, i.e. Groot. He's just kind of, sticking it out there because he's broken inside. Oh, come on! No. And, on top of which, they just turned him and Groot into bounty hunters. The Rocket in the comics, he's a freedom fighter. That's such an awesome character to have. And then he just turned him into, freaking Boba Fett, minus the freaking helmet and the rocket pack. That disappointed me. That's one of the things that really disappointed me. The Nova Corps. As much as I kind of cheered seeing Sharif Atkins in one of those Nova Star.
Oh, no shit, right? When I saw him, I almost did a double take.
Who's that again?
And it, remember
he was the black
pilot? The first pilot when they got picked up for the fight? He was from ER. Sharif Atkins. Oh, no, look!
I know him from White Collar.
I've never seen English. ER, so I don't know.
You've seen White Collar, Ben?
No.
Oh, okay, never mind.
But he's actually a decent actor, so it was like, hey, look, Sharif Atkins.
Don't you love when you pick actors like that?
Yeah. Well, that was another part of the problem with this movie. There was too many name actors, and they tried to do too much and ended up not doing enough with them, like Karen Gillan. Karen Gillan had not a whole lot to do aside from look at people, say some lines, and then she had a fight where she got her butt kicked, there wasn't enough for her, and there was too many characters they tried to work with, The same thing with you know, Dijon mustard. I think, you know, Dijon mustard, you know, as much as you like seeing, oh, look, they got this actor.
You know, did they ever actually say his character's name in the movie?
I can't remember.
I think they might have said it once, but, you know, he's Korath the Pursuer. And it disappointed me, not because they made him Korath, but because, yet again, we have a black guy playing something that's not a black guy, but he's still a black guy. Because we saw three Kree in this movie. We got Lee Pace, we had the guy on the video screen talking to the Nova Prime, and then we got him as Korath. And I'm thinking, okay, so I guess black people can't play blue people. But then it's still near the end of the movie.
Blackness.
Yeah, you would think, right? But when you had that scene when the big shit was trying to crash down and Nova Prime was scrambling her people to do this and do that and do whatever in the center, you had a black guy in blue face paint next to her. So then why is he still black? You know, which it's a nitpick, and I fully admit to it being a nitpick, but it's still a nitpick. Like, why is this? Just like Adebisi in Thor the Dark World. Why couldn't he be, you know, painted white like every one of them? He was the only darkie. Like, really? Do we need that racial diversity amongst aliens? No, you know? I will say, I'll put in a like. I did like that you did have a lot of different colored people in this movie. Okay, you had pinks and yellows and that one guy from the Ravager who looked like he had trees coming out of his blue skin and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that
That's
was
like the cantina scene from Star Wars, but times three.
Yeah, kind of like that, but I still say the cantina scene was better because it had better music. Had way better music than this movie.
Hi, Taser, I will agree with you that, and not from a sense of quality music or like what you said, but I'm a person who loves original scores in movies, and when most of the movie,
which they still had it's not like they were deprived of that. Okay,
no,
they had
but it was drowned out by the other stuff, and I'm not a fan of that. It's a choice.
It was a breath of fresh air. Y'all are a bunch of...
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Sorry.
I like my orchestra.
Well, not for you. You were around when those songs were still being thought up, Taser, okay? Not even getting me started.
All I'm saying is I'm a fan of original scores, and I'm not a fan when movies like these... Like, if it's once, sure, okay, fine, deal. I didn't like it when Watchmen did it. I'm not going to like it when this movie did it. There you go.
Okay.
whatever.
Back to what I was originally... The Nova Corps... My problem with the Nova Corps here is they look like they were so low grade that it would be as if in the Green Lantern movie, we had the Green Lantern Corps as guys who actually carried lanterns and used handguns. All right? And then we didn't see them do a whole lot, and they drove around in cars because that's what they did. They use flying star craft to, you know, move about, you know, to do whatever for the most part. The guys who actually wore the helmets and looked like they were legitimate centurions didn't do much. When we had the jailhouse scene, remember when they were in the control booth and one of the guards, he called in those five guys that pulled out rockets? They were corpsmen. The Nova Corps don't use heavy artillery. They are heavy artillery.
I may say, just briefly, this isn't anything in retaliation. I just wanted to ask if you have a question.
No, go ahead.
They seem like much more of a political power in this one, seeing as how they characterize it as the heart of the Nova Empire when they introduce Xandar.
Yeah, that's not – yeah.
Was that a thing?
They were just a police force, weren't they?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They seem like they were the rulers of this – the way they characterized it seemed like they were rulers.
That's how I got it too.
Yeah.
That they were –
And I'm not going to argue that. However, Xandar in the books, they do, you know – run that planet, you know, that everything started from there in regards to the core, and that was its central base of power. But, you know, whatever, it's just like Oa. So, you know, all fine and dandy. In this case, he turned him into some empire, which, okay, but
they can't use
in a movie.
Though.
Yeah. No.
But, I mean, in regards, we're talking about a movie that's supposed to show stuff. And these guys were so not impressive. You know, we didn't even get to see the guys who were centurions who were wearing the armor do anything. Not at all. And then, on top of which, when it came to the when Ronan was trying to, you know, land on the planet, what did they do? What was their big move? To have all the ships line up and form a net. Nobody thought about, hey, let's take and shoot the fucking thing down.
Well,
blow out
its
engines.
They didn't want to shoot down because if it shoots down, Ronan gets to the...
They could have held him up, and better yet...
They could have stopped Ronan.
Hold on. Hear me out.
Okay.
The thing is pushing. They're resisting it. You take out its ability to push, you get to push that thing away. You know, that's physics. Okay, if you remove something's forward momentum, you reverse it, you can remove it from where you don't want it. You know, I'm sorry, that's common sense. But it was like Infinite Crisis, when the Green Lantern Corps put up that big green wall, all 3,600 of them, and Superboy Prime punched right through. Superboy Prime. But, I mean, the Nova Corps in this were punks. And that really annoyed the hell out of me, you know? That really bugged me, you know, because this is, unless somebody else comes along and they kind of go, fuck you, James Gunn, and this is how we're doing it, and we're doing it right, which, yay, please do so.
Which is all of
this is what we're going to have.
It's completely possible.
It is completely possible, but not too likely.
Yeah, not the fact that this movie did well, yeah.
So, okay, and...
Made gangbusters.
Yeah. And more power to it. And if you like it, more power to you. But the music still sucks, so fuck you.
Fuck you, okay? If
fuck
you did
you.
Dance on
okay,
any
okay,
of these...
Okay,
no,
okay.
You are joyless,
you know
okay?
What this group
back
reminded
to
me of?
Back to your
you know what this group corner. Reminded me of? And I'm going to say it.
Oh, this is going to be
fucking
great.
Farscape.
Oh.
This group was Farscape, and you know it.
I don't know.
You joyless cad. That is what you are.
By the fact that you're that angry, you know I'm right.
No, because
yes.
I've never watched Farscape, so there.
Liar. Well, then
no,
you
I've
have
actually
to
never
get upset
Farscape.
About it. Now, do you?
Well, just go watch.
No,
shut up.
You know what?
On,
you know what it is,
Taser?
With
fine.
You, I can almost guarantee it's a negative connotation, because that's
it is
always what you are.
It
exactly.
It is 100%
prove me wrong and pick something with a positive connotation.
And speaking of negative connotations, I did not entirely dislike Peter Quill. Not entirely.
Oh.
I as a matter of fact, he didn't really bug me. What's his name playing Peter Quill? I didn't have a problem with him. This is how
Peter Quill is going to be in the comics for, like, years from now.
Yeah, and that bugs me because,
well
there's
the
other
thing
things
that
went on.
With Tony Stark.
No. You know what it is? They cleaned him up, okay?
Well,
because
I don't
if you look
really
at Peter Quill's,
don't know
look
shit.
At Peter Quill's original origin story, and he actually kills the guy who's supposed to get the title of Star-Lord, okay? And he ends up making up for it by this, that, and the other and stuff down the line. But, yeah, no, he kills that guy because he's jealous. Here, they just got rid of all of that. And I don't even know if he's going to be the prince of the Milky Way galaxy because his father. They mentioned something about him,
exactly.
His father being special and ancient. So exactly. God only knows what they'll do there.
Yeah, I'm hoping they don't make him Asgardian.
No, I don't think so.
But, you know, that's all in the fine. But you know what?
Said ancient, what's, not, you know.
Hold on, let me get it out. Okay. You know what seals the deal for me in this?
Mm-hmm.
Peter Quill saves everybody through the power of friendship.
Care
okay.
Bear stare.
It's Forze.
You know, they take out
it as a dispersal of the energy, but that
bullshit. It was it was the Japanese anime
dispersing
it was
the energy, so that it wasn't all concentrated into one point and overloaded a human being. Okay, that's
you're
what I'm
yeah.
saying.
The power
excuse
of
me while I wank that out. It was the power of friendship.
Well, dude, keep
somebody,
your pants on.
He's been watching Dragon Ball Z.
Keep
it
your
is
pants.
Power of friendship. Okay, sorry, not happening.
He hasn't seen television in 20 years.
Do you believe
who?
In the power of love?
See, that should have been a song, and that's what they should have played.
Do you believe
that
in the power of dance?
Yeah, okay, whatever. No, I just
like Kevin Bacon.
I kind of liked how we find out that it was an Infinity Stone inside the orb.
That was
like, oh, that's nice. It really annoyed me that we get the foppish Benicio del Toro playing the collector, who's really just an antique dealer. I mean, he's really just an anti-healer.
Yeah, pretty much.
That just, oh, my God, you know?
Yeah.
But even that being the case.
At least he wasn't called the Games Master.
Don't get me started. Because imagine Champion.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Can you imagine Champion if this is how they're going to play them?
Well.
All right?
Okay.
So hold on. Okay. I'm not done.
All right.
They shoot the hammer. Okay, fine. I'm all for that. And they can't let the stone drop. I'm all for that too. But no, he grabs onto it, and then there's 5 minute long sequence where he starts turning and looking at things in slow motion, and then Gamora grabs his other hand because that seemed like a thing to do, even though there's no logic or common sense in this action. But I'll do it anyway. And then Drax leans forward, and he touches his shoulder because, well, I've got the other hand, the other arm, and Rocket grabs the finger because that's how tall I am and that's all I can do. And we stand there and we're doing whatever, and Ronan just stands there rather than just going whapping the head and taking the stone out of his hand.
He's bewildered.
Yeah, okay, no.
Well, he was bewildered.
Because they're the Guardians of the Galaxy.
So's he. He's not immortal. Ronan isn't anybody special. That Kree died just like anybody else.
They didn't make him anybody special.
I don't think so. But, you know, I just, the power of friendship saved. That annoyed me. I mean, they could have done that better.
I loved
way,
it.
Way, way better.
Yeah, I loved it.
No, okay, well, you suck too.
Any kind of anime Japanese shit comes in.
Yeah, bullshit. It was boring and dumb. I did like the dance sequence.
Really?
With the plant.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. Okay.
You're going to see that gif everywhere.
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
That makes me smile.
So.
It was great. And especially when Drax takes over and he stops.
Yeah. That was
okay,
funny.
Okay. So, my new
And Groot was a dumbass. I'm sorry.
Groot he was amazing. Dumbass.
No. He had tricks and he pulled them off, but come on. He was a dumb hick.
He literally looked at you. What did you want? Taser.
He took shit too literally. He was almost like Drax.
Actually, you know what? Ironically enough, I found him smarter than Drax. So say take from
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but my know. One point isn't saying a whole lot.
Well, okay. Well, let's get into the minutia bullshit.
Well, Ian.
All right, let's move. We're moving on. Okay. Let's just say this: that I think. They showed fucking Thanos, and I lost my shit in the theater. I literally wanted to fucking scream.
I didn't expect them to have a Thanos mock-up that ready early on.
Me neither. But I was expecting him to be the post-credit sequence. Not for him to, like, full-on show him and Josh Brolin commanding the screen as he does. You know, I thought he looked great.
Yeah, I had no problem. I actually liked it. Yeah. I was like, oh, cool, Thanos. Hey, not bad in the armor, too.
I mean, it's a little more, like, showy than his comic, but I thought it worked fine.
I miss Damien Poitier.
John, what did you think of Thanos?
Oh, hell yeah. I was like, squee.
Did you expect, any of y'all expect that squee. Comic he was going
to
turn around?
No, not at all.
I was not expecting him, but when he turned around and then you see the look on Ronan's face, like, oh, fuck, what did I do?
Ronan calls him, I'm coming for you. I'm like, oh, damn.
No, you know what I liked? I liked how he said that, but I liked how Gamora just kind of creamed her pants when she watched him do it.
Oh.
That's what made her jump ship.
You mean
Nebula? Thank you, Nebula. Okay. Thank you. Nebula creamed her pants when he said that. And he's like, can I come with you, Master, please?
Yeah, you think in between cuts, she just went to him and was like, put me in you, or put you in me.
Yeah.
So the minutia bullshit is when I think of, and this is why people are probably mad at the post-credits sequence, but I thought the second time I lost my shit, when they showed the dead celestial head, I was like, they said celestial. I lost my shit at that word alone.
Did they actually say celestial?
Yes, they said celestial.
They said celestial.
Come on, man.
I know what it was when I looked at it.
They showed him, man.
They
come on.
I don't doubt that that's what he was. I just don't remember.
The fucking Arishem bringing the hammer down.
Well, when they're
that was Arishem.
Well, when
yeah, it was.
No, that wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Who? What do you guys
yeah, it was.
About?
It was a celestial. Let's just go
it
with
was
that.
A celestial. Not arguing that. I'm saying that was an Arishem.
I don't know who. Whatever.
So who do you think it was?
Who cares? It's not important now. The important thing is we saw a fucking celestial.
This is a fanboy nitpick. Let us have this.
No, it's not. It's a celestial. The important thing is, going into this movie, I expect some crazy shit. I did not fucking expect the Celestial. That's a big fucking deal.
I'll agree with that.
He exists now. It's canon.
It's like, what? I mean, okay, Celestial being, you don't say the word Celestial in a Marvel movie and not have it mean something. I'm sorry. I freaked out in the deadhead of the Celestial. The fact that the Collector, and granted, Mr. Exposition, showed ancient footage somehow of us and like full scale, like they look giant. They look huge. So fuck you, Bryan Singer. it's just like it literally, I literally lost it. Like I was, if there was nobody in the theater, I would have started screaming and running up and down the aisles. Like that's that. And I thought, and this is why I don't hate the post-credit sequence. I thought they did a great job of moving the story, the universe story along of the Infinity Stones, and explaining what they actually giving us an answer on what these damn things are. At least more than we knew before. At least not all, but more we knew before. Why I'm not upset at the post-credit sequence. So y'all, what do you, Celestial talk? God damn it!
It was pretty damn cool. I was like, damn. I was just, oh. Yeah, then when they showed that group of beings that tried to hold the stones and use them, it looked an awful lot like the Watchers.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. But then they had hoods, and I'm like, well, maybe. Because just that little dress on the shoulders looked like Watchers.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, I didn't think they were Watchers. That I got to disagree with you there. Okay. I didn't think they were Watchers.
I thought they were Watchers. But that whole scene was cool. I thought, not Benicio del Toro serving his purpose, but that whole scene of exposition of basically the history of the Marvel Universe in a way, or at least in the early, at least the early days. But it's just that was guys. We saw a fucking Celestial on the screen.
Yep.
And
we saw a Celestial twice. Remember nowhere the head.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, but like in a full fledged thing. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
The head was cool, but that was a dead one. And that would have been
he
enough
was
for
dead.
Me. That would have been enough for me. But the fact that we saw another one, and yeah. There might be...
it was a hell of a thing. I'll give you that.
Okay, so let's talk post credit sequence. Now, the first one, obviously, the Groot one was adorable. It's cute. That gift's gonna be everywhere. I love it.
Oh, baby, give me one more chance.
Can't go wrong with it. Early with the Jackson 5.
Jackson 5, hell yeah.
Can't go wrong with that. Tito, my boy. But okay, I was crying. One, it's extremely fucked up that it was Howard the Duck, because Steve Gerber, notorious. If you go read a book called Marvel Comics Behind the History, I believe it's called. I can't remember the exact title, but Steve Gerber was at least until his death, I think like five years ago, was in constant court with Marvel over the rights for Howard the Duck. So it's kind of fucked up that he's here and, you know, using his name and everything. It's just like, that's kind of a dick move. But at the same time,
it's fucking Howard the Duck.
I was surprised as fuck. I was like, holy shit, that's Howard the Duck.
I'm with Taser. I first thought it was Cosmo talking when I hear whatever it is off screen.
Yeah.
And then when I realized it wasn't him, I'm like, okay, but who could it be? Like in the split second before they cut to him, I'm like, who's approaching this guy? What's going on? And then I see it's Howard the Duck sipping a martini. I'm like, fucking A.
He's canon.
And he's voiced by Seth Green, no less.
Really?
Something.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. It was too quick for me to. I didn't. I don't.
That goes down smooth. Are you kidding me? Really?
I mean.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, and you know what's funny is that people are mad at this. Have you seen the reaction to this? Like, people are pissed because they think they're gonna do a another Howard the Duck movie, which if you've seen the first one, that movie.
No, of course not.
I know, but
I loved Howard the Duck, the movie. It had Leah Thompson in it. I loved it. I loved it.
Taser, what the fuck is wrong with you that you don't
I
like
I loved it. It had Leah Thompson.
Like you also like X-Men 3, so your opinion is invalid.
Well, hey, I hate to tell you, but all three previous X-Men movies have been rendered null and void.
True.
So even if you like them.
True.
We're
talking about Bryan Singer.
Boys. Easy.
No, all I'm saying is, let me ask, like, that was the furthest of left field they could have gone. Like, Jesus. Coward the Duck? You know, I'm not complaining, but, like, I was just...
Yeah, that definitely had me kind of like, what would be the point of that? Shouldn't you build up Thanos some more?
They already did in the movie. That's why I'm not mad at it, because they showed...
Well, yeah, obviously it didn't expand anything, but I'm just saying, surely they could have put something else in there.
You know what that shows? Is that Marvel has officially conditioned the at least the people who... Not necessarily all of them, but the people who stay after... That they have conditioned them that that's super important, that moves the story along. So when they don't do it, like say they did at the end of Iron Man 3,
yeah,
people get mad. I just love it. I love it. And I hope.
Well, it's just Howard the Duck came out of left field.
I know, but
man.
I think that means he was there the entire time. I'm pretty sure there has to be a shot somewhere where you can see him early on.
So, yeah, there is. I think.
So the collector was passing him martinis the whole time he was in his cage.
Probably. I mean, he was feeding everything else. So, John, since you just joined us back, what are your quick thoughts on Howard the Duck?
Oh, I laughed my ass off. My kids were wondering why I was laughing so out loud, so hard when they showed him. They were like, "Who is that?" And I was like, and then my wife was like, "He was a guy in a movie from back when Dad and I were, you know, your age." And I just went, yeah, he's also a very obscure character. He's very much an attitude. And I was laughing my ass off so hard. It was just the only thing that would have made it more perfect is he had the fucking cigar.
Yeah.
But I know that Disney's like, nope, no smoking. So, when he was just like, oh, and when he drank that martini, he was like, oh, that went down smooth. I lost it.
I hope
it
he shows
just
up
hilarious.
In Guardians 2. I just hope he shows up.
If they make Howard the Duck a Guardian, I might.
Not become a Guardian, but just like show up in the movie, you know? There's like a big.
Well, why not? They can have a slash fiction of Rocket Raccoon and Howard the Duck.
Already out there. They're already. What do you call them? Pushers.
That is so not right.
Call them pushers.
Pushing oh, Rocket, you push go down it. Smooth.
Push it good.
All I'm saying is,
now we get into the 80s week.
Yeah, but to me, I think they did even though Thanos didn't do it and everything, did it come out to y'all that Ronan, like, feared Thanos? I want to ask y'all that. Did it came the only reason he even challenged his authority was because he got the Infinity Stone.
That
to me does a great job of like, well, if this guy who is this badass is afraid of this guy, well, I want to see, because we know what Thanos is capable of. We know what he can do.
It almost makes you wonder if Ronan just didn't know what Thanos was capable of, or if he did, he just didn't care, viewed him as more of like an equal more than anything else, which says a lot about Ronan and how he carried himself, you know?
That means I can't wait to see the Avengers fight him.
Yeah. Quick question. I might have missed it. Are we taking bets on who Peter Quill's father is? His parentage? What's the money on that?
I wouldn't be surprised if they keep it Jason, son of Spartax, but the Spartax Empire no longer exists. Like, I'm going with that.
I don't know. The way they made him, the way to describe what they found in his whole, you know, biology. Makes me think it might be something more than just Emperor Jay's son or whatever
of
Spartan.
I'm thinking Asgardian.
I don't think he's Asgardian.
I hate to say it.
Honestly, part of me was searching for something to rationalize it, and actually I almost settled on Adam Warlock before I maybe thought better of it a little bit.
You think his father's Adam Warlock?
Well, no, I don't.
What if it was? Would that be fucked up?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Adam Warlock, I'm not the biggest – I don't know a lot about him. You know, I was reaching for a cosmic-level character who could reasonably sire a son without raising too many red flags, because his mother described him as an angel and, you know, a being
of pure
light
Spartax
or whatever.
Yeah, but the Spartax aren't that special. See,
well,
now,
that's
I'll be honest.
That's the comics continuity. This is completely different.
Wait a minute. Hold on now. I wanted to drop this. You realize that we saw Adam Warlock's cocoon – in Thor: The Dark World.
What?
Did?
There was the cocoon that Adam Warlock came out of. He was in Thor: The Dark World. There was they actually pointed that out over Comic-Con. I don't even remember seeing
shit.
It, but so they actually had the live shot of it. But we don't. I'll be honest. I don't know if that's actually Adam Warlock or her.
Yeah.
But there was that cocoon, and that's supposed to have been like somebody who was made by the Combined. So he might be Adam Warlock's kid. I don't know, you know, because it's not like she ever spoke about his dad.
Adam Warlock.
It would be nice if it was Adam Warlock.
Well, not only would we have Celestials, this is all kinds of stuff we'd be staring at.
I mean, in the comics, Adam Warlock is born of what, the Mind Gem or the Soul Gem?
Not at all. He was made by a group of people to be a perfect human.
Okay.
But
in Infinity Gauntlet, like, he's in the Soul Gem or something. So
that whole thing, he
had been killed, and that's where Thanos sent his soul in there along with Pip, way back when.
What happened was Thanos killed him, and then his past self had came through the time portal or something. And he confronted him and said, thank you, you know, I knew you were going to be here. And then he found himself absorbed into the Soul Gem.
The Magus?
No, not the Magus. It was a time travel thing that Starlin did.
Oh, okay. All right.
At one point when he confronted the in-betweener and he went into the future and he sees himself, didn't realize dying and all that, yeah.
Okay.
And then he wakes up being in the Soul Gem with Gamora and Pip and a couple other people.
You know, right. Well, I've been poking around online trying to dig up any theories. There are a bunch of theories ranging from Warlock. Someone threw their head in saying it might be the Beyonder, which I didn't buy at all. But someone else said it might be Star Fox from the Eternals.
Turns out
this being a pure light just roofied Peter's mom,
well,
and it's all
is connected is related to Thanos. If that's the case.
Yeah,
they're brothers.
If they go with that, Star Fox is his brother, because they don't have to go with that way.
Well, however they do it, I just thought
it's going to be Jason's son of Spartak, and the Spartaks are going to be made something that they weren't before. I'm going with the safe.
Fearless, look at that link I just posted.
Will do. And also, actually, I wanted to mention one more thing that I actually had to look this up after the fact, because I went completely over my head that apparently. The guys from Ronan's Army are from Sakaar, the Planet Hulk storyline Sakaar, which I totally missed. Yeah, apparently they're referenced as Sakaari.
How come they didn't say that stupid line, if he dies, die well, that bullshit line? How come they say that, huh?
Well, because, I mean, if Korvath didn't get a lot of
don't tell me you're feeding into the World War Hulk, I mean, the Planet Hulk shit, are you?
They are supposed to be doing Planet
That's
Hulk.
That's a rumor. Unless they actually confirm.
However you look at it, the point is they name-dropped Sakaar and the Sakaarians, so they're obviously setting
up. I didn't catch
it. Me neither. I didn't. I have to watch that.
No, but that don't mean anything. That would be cool if they did.
It could just be that you need a token alien race. I don't know, but the point is they set up
Chitauri. The Chitauri was supposed to be Skrulls.
Yes, well, they can't use
and,
Skrulls.
You know, we know that they're going to, from what I've gathered over the past, the past con, I think Marvel's going to actually introduce Skrulls.
How? I thought Fox had, well, whatever, who knows.
So.
We'll see.
I like that. Apparently, the Chitauri and the Skrulls are two entirely different entities in this Marvel
universe. Well, that's how it was in the Marvel universe. I mean, not
the
Marvel.
Chitauri didn't exist in the Ultimate Marvel universe. Ultimate Marvel of the Skrulls.
Yeah, exactly. Which was odd when the Skrulls show up in the Ultimate Universe. I was like, wait, weren't they? Okay, fine.
See, exactly, because that's what they were thinking then, and this is now. Because Marvel now.
Well, that was
Marvel.
Well,
now.
That was before. Way yeah. Now. That was Mark Millar.
Yeah, Marvel now.
Mark Millar, who was drinking. So, okay, let's wrap this up. Final scores. Jonathan.
I give it a 3.8 out of 5. It could have, if it had been higher, if they'd done NovaCore proper, I might have given it a little bit higher, but about 3.8 out of 5.
Brian.
I give it a 4.5 out of 5. It was damn near perfect in my eyes. I honestly can't say enough about this, you know. Everything was just right to me. It felt right. And even the flaws that I stated and were there, I can overlook them because the pros so far outweigh them. So I'm going to go ahead and give it a 4.5 out of 5. Damn near perfect.
I'm giving it a 4 out of 5, flat even. I thought it was really good. I thought it did, at least until the end with the dance-off, did a great job of being able to manage you to sad, happy, jokey, to serious, and without feeling it too terrible. except for the dance-off. Also, standing around in a circle like a couple of jackasses is my favorite line Rocket said. Yeah, here we are. We're standing up. We're standing. Yeah. A couple of jackasses.
Well, he had
the best lines. We are Groot.
I mean, really, Rocket had the best lines out of anybody in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Rocket was great.
Yeah, and I need that guy's eyes.
Yo, look, I want when they eventually cross over Avengers, I want them to meet Bucky and be like, I need that guy's arm. No, you can't have that guy's arm. But I need it.
I don't think it's safe to say, but depending on when Avengers comes out and when Guardians 2 is coming out in 2017, right? So it's 3 years from now. I would not be surprised if Avengers 3, since it's gonna feature Thanos, I would not be surprised if Guardians showed up. I would not.
They're supposed to be going to be a crossover.
Dude, they're calling this the Galactic Avengers, for God's sake. I don't doubt that at all.
I mean, I would love
to have the end of Avengers 2, or whenever they show up Thanos again, just have the Guardians sweeping after the fact, and I'm like, what did we miss? Did we miss Thanos already? Oh, we were totally going to come to help you guys. And
Yeah, well, the Avengers...
Hey, we're here to help!
Shut up. The Avengers still have them beat power-wise, so...
Avengers just stare at them?
Why? Oh, before we go... That reminds me. For those of you fools who are saying this was better than Avengers, I normally don't like saying this, but you're wrong. Okay? Nothing beats the spectacle that was the Avengers, even now.
Blade 1, sorry.
Huh?
Yeah.
Blade 1.
Blade 1?
Blade 1.
He's agreeing with you.
No. I'm saying Blade 1 beats Avengers in my book.
Well, I'm talking...
I like the Avengers.
Fuck
I'm
off with Blade that shit.
Blade 1, saying it.
Whatever. My point is for the people...
Some motherfuckers are just always trying to ice skate uphill.
Yes, right.
I'm just saying for the idiots out there, and yes, you're an idiot, who are saying that this movie was better than Avengers... Avengers is in a whole other fucking league by itself, okay? Avengers is a spectacle that you will... While Avengers 2 is going to try to replicate that, you will never, ever, you won't. That first time feeling of seeing those characters together, come together, fight the aliens, and fight Loki, that's something else entirely different. That feeling can never be go away. So saying it there, for those of you who are saying that, you're wrong. You can't beat Avengers. All right? There you go.
No. No.
Guardians came damn close to beating Avengers.
Not even
and
close.
In fact,
not even
close. Not even close.
Yes.
No.
Yes. This didn't even beat Thor. Shut up. The first Thor.
Oh, Taser, you make
it
me
damn sure. Hold on. It damn sure didn't beat Captain America Winter Soldier.
I'll give it that.
Yeah, I agree on that.
Yeah, Cap was still a better movie.
It didn't beat that.
I still like Cap as
and
a
that
whole.
Movie didn't beat Avengers.
Yeah.
So,
Avengers
shut
is
up.
Still... As far as I'm concerned, that spectacle that everybody should live up to. So, until next week, we will
hold
see...
Hold on.
What?
Hold on.
What?
1.7 out of 5.
Oh,
that's
I forgot. Sorry, my bad.
No problem.
Sorry about that.
Did you enjoy that, West?
He's not going to listen because we're never going to call him back. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Hopefully this wasn't too much of a shit fest. We'll see y'all for a regularly scheduled program next week. And the next time we do this... We'll be talking to a certain metalhead. All right, guys, take it easy.
All the good love when we're all alone. Keep it up, girl. Yeah, you turn me on.
Created by Dr. Henry Pym. My imperative is to bring peace and order to this world. I am about to fulfill that imperative. For the extinction of humanity begins now.